the Parsha Shir. So there's no official Parsha Shir, but we'll say a word from the Parsha and tie it in and introduce our guest of honor, Rabbi Gedalia Berger, Shlita. This week's Parsha's Emor, talks about the Kohanim. So one thing I've heard that Rav Soloveitchik was fond of saying is that even though the Kohen did the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, but that was like 2 weeks of the year. That wasn't his main thing, because they had the Mishmaros, so you make a cheshbon that every Kohen, how many times was he actually doing Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash throughout the whole year? It wasn't so much. So the main tafkid was Kisifset Kohen Yishmer Das V'tor Yivakshu B'pihu, that he was the Shevet Levi, they were the Malamdim, the Mora Yorot Mishpatech Yaakov, they were the people who were teaching Torah. And I thought that the beginning of this week's Parsha is the Parsha of the Kohuna, of Emor al Kohanim B'nei Aaron, is Lahazir HaGdolim al Haktanim, is the idea of teaching others, etc. And the Iker of teaching and our learning today is the Torah Shebaal Peh. In fact, there's a vort I always like to say over from Rav Baruch Tumim Frankel. One of my favorite words from Rav Baruch Tumim Frankel, and it's based on Rabbeinu Bechaya, and Rabbeinu Bechaya says that the most famous pasuk in Chumash, "Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor." So, what does that mean? So, the Gemara seems to say, like Rav Shacht always quotes, "Lemor, Lemor, Lacherim." Some say the Ramban learns that it doesn't mean that, because Ramban and Va'era says it doesn't fit in. Emesh Omar Hashem Elai Leimor by Lovan, it doesn't fit in there. Leimor Lacherim. So Leimor, he says, Bas Bachlar Yahami'ira, it means a clear Nevuah. But the Rabbeinu Bechaya says a different word, that every time Moshe got the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he gave him the Torah Shebichsav and the Torah Shebaal Peh. So the Torah Shebichsav is very rigid. It's this word, this letter, you can't add a letter, you can't subtract a letter. It's very rigid. That's Vaidaber, kosher. And Lemor, as Amira is Loshon Raka, is expansive, it's pliable, it's Parah V'Rova, etc. And that's Vaidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, means when Hashem gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, he gave him the Dibur of Torah Shebichsav and the Amira of Torah Shebaal Peh. So Rav Pinchas Friedman from Belz says over from Rav Baruch Tumim Frankel, says that's pshat in the Pasuk in Tehillim, in the Kuf Yutes, the famous Kuf Yutes. So David HaMelech says like this, Sorim radfuni chinam umidvorcha pachad libi, sas anochi al mersecha kemotzei shol rav. So David HaMelech says, you know, coming Shavuos now, the child of David HaMelech, the Yichus of David HaMelech was, you know, he's from Moav, it wasn't so poshut that he could be Baal B'Kal Hashem, marry a Jewish girl. He was so Sorim Radfuni Chinam, that, you know, Doag Achitofel, the Sorim were putting a cast of aspersion on my Yichus. Umidvarcha Pochad Libi, and Taka from the Torah Shebichsav, that says a Moav can't come B'Kal Hashem, I Taka was afraid. But what? Sasa nochi al mrasecha kemotzei sholorov. But from the imrasecha, lemor, Torah Shebaal Peh, which darshins moavi velo moavi, so then I was vindicated, and sas libi al mrasecha kemotzei sholorov. So, Rabosai, we are, you know, together in yeshiva. So, you know, the key point to understand in learning in yeshiva, it's not like any college course where it's, you know, just taking notes, writing, and, you know, and having your finals and cramming and this and that, you know, the whole, but it's a whole atmosphere, it's a whole experience, it's an amira. It's Dibur maybe a little bit too, but mainly amira, mainly, well, the amira, Lashon Raka, the interaction, the experiential, thing, and that's what lasts for many years to come. When you'll think back of your days in yeshiva, and Baruch Hashem, for the past how many years now? At least 11. we had this chus, Kein Yirbu, of having Rav Gedali Berger in our base medrash, and hopefully it should continue with Siyata Dishmaya, but you know, you never know what's the, but whatever it is, we did have these 11 years, so that's a fact. And we have a tremendous Hakaras HaTov, you know, it continues, it doesn't continue, but we have a tremendous Hakaras HaTov that he, you know, was with us. You know, those, not everybody here is, was here for the past 11 years, but Baruch Hashem, I sat next to him, you know, and I don't think a day went by, I mean, maybe a day or two, but, you know, that we, you know, we went in Chazarova, the packet, and asked him his opinions. And as you hear in Shir, I incorporate his opinions every day, very machshiv, what he has to say, and the Maso Matan. And he's a person, he's a gavra. He's willing to think out of the box. He's willing to, you know, he's just not just Ibrazogging, you know, what everyone's supposed to Ibrazog. But he can think. He can. He's a gavra, and it was a big schus, and still is a big schus. I mean, June's man is going to start after Shavuos, I believe, and hopefully we can still get people who want to be for Shavuos. We have to talk, you know. So we don't. But it's very a big schus to have him with us, and this luncheon is in his honor, and I'd like to mechabit him to say some words.
Okay. Thank you all for being here, and I really appreciate Rabbi Simon's making this very unnecessary event for me as I am heading towards the end of the last year of my presence here in this Beis Medrash. A reminder that I will be seeing all of you, I hope, in June, too. Right? This is not your last day here this year, Mirtza Hashem. Rabbi Simon and I have come a long way since most memorable early memory of Rabbi Simon goes back to probably 1987, I think. My first year as a Talmud, as a camper in Morasha High School Kollel, when on visiting day, when my parents came to Morasha, Rabbi Simon told my parents that his hardest job in camp is waking Gedalia up in the morning. So not much has changed for me, but in terms of my interaction with Rabbi Simon, I think we've come a long way. The Mishnah says in the fifth parak of Pirkei Avos that kol ava tluya b'davar batel davar batel ava, a love which is dependent on something. If the something on which is dependent disappears, then the ava, the love, appears as well. Kol ava she'ena tluya b'davar, an ava which is not dependent on anything. Will last. And the Mishnah gives examples, right? What's the paradigm of Ava, in reverse order, what's the paradigm of Ava She'ena Tluya B'davar, the pure love? That's the love of David and Yonasan. And what's the paradigm of Ava She'ena Tluya B'davar? That's the love of Amnon and Tamar. And where Batel Davar, Batel Ava. To appreciate the depth of the meaning of that example of Amnon and Tamar, it's helpful to know that there's also a medrash that talks about the same thing and gives a different example. There's a medrash that also talks about Ava Tluya B'davar, and the example that it gives of Ava Tluya B'davar is not Amnon and Tamar, it's Bilam and Balak. That Bilam had an affinity for Balak, excuse me, Balak had, the commission calls it a love, some sort of affinity for Bilam, and when that which he was actually interested in disappeared, then the love disappeared. What's the difference between the example of Bilam and Balak and the example of Amnon and Tamar? When the Medrash says Batel Davar, how was the Davar which Balak's love was dependent on Batel? What did Balak want? What was the Davar that Balak wanted? Balak wanted Bilam to curse Bnei Yisrael. What made the love disappear? Because that didn't happen. Right? The fact that what he wanted didn't happen made his interest and therefore his love disappear. The Mishnah in Avos talks about Amnon and Tamar. What happened in the case of Amnon and Tamar? Right? It was Ava Tluya B'davar. It's not that it didn't happen. It did happen. Amnon's lust for Tamar was in fact consummated. Right? And immediately after that happened, the Navi says that he bayisna, so he hated her. Right? And so that even what the Mishnah is telling us is that even when the thing which you love the person for actually does happen, It still means that that love is an ava tluya bedavar, and it's not going to be kayim. It's going to be batel. It's only when the ava is really independent, doesn't depend on anything. That's when that ava is going to be kayim. There's a real kind of mystery in the text that we use for kiddush on Yontif. You're familiar with the parentheses you always have in the machzor and the siddur for the little things you add on Shabbos, right? So the what's one of the words that we add on Shabbos? Right, what we add on Shabbos is be'ahava, right? Instead of saying just mikra kodesh, we say be'ahava mikra kodesh. So why is that? But there's a bigger mystery, right? The bigger mystery is that when it's not Shabbos, we still do say be'ahava, right? We just say be'ahava one line earlier, right? What do we say about Titen lanu Hashem Elokeinu be'ahava? So on Shabbos, we see Vatita Lano Hashem Alkeinu Biava. So if we say Biava on Yontif too, so what's the meaning that on Shabbos it's added in again a line later? And I think that the answer to that question lies in this week's Parsha. Parsha's Emor, we read of the Yom Tovim, preceding the mention of the Yom Tovim, is the mention of Shabbos. The Yom Tovim, I think you learned the sugi this year of Chetzi Lashem and Chetzi Lachem, right? So that's in this week's Parsha. So it's hard for me to remember which year we learned the things. So in this week's Parsha, it says over and over and over again, and for every Yontif, what does it say? Mikra Kodesh Yihyeh Lachem. Right? That is a mikra kodesh, the Baruch Shalom says, for us, right? For the Jewish people. When it talks about Shabbos, it doesn't say that. When it talks about Shabbos, it says Shabbos hi l'Hashem. Bechol, I meant to have this open before. Elam wadei Hashem shatikru alson mikra kodesh. Sheshes yomim tasem lachav yom ashi Shabbos shabason mikra kodesh. It doesn't say mikra kodesh hi l'Hashem. It just says mikra kodesh, kol malacha lo sasu, and then it emphasizes Shabbos hi Lashem. So we know that by Yontif it says Lashem and it says Lachem. But here, Bedafka, it only calls Shabbos Lashem, and it talks about Mikra Kodesh, but it doesn't say that the Mikra Kodesh is for Hashem. Is for us, excuse me. Now, normally, which one would we associate as being more an expression of love? If Hashem says that the Yontif is for him or for us? So I think instinctively we would say that if the Yontif is Lachem, if Hashem is saying, here I'm giving you this great gift, this Kedusha, that's an expression of His love for us. So you would expect that Mikra Kodesh Yihyeh Lachem would be especially a time of saying Bi'ahava. And you'll notice that the place where we don't say Bi'ahava in the Kiddush and in the Shmoneh Esrei also is right before the words Mikra Kodesh. We dafka don't say the Yontif. Dafka, when we talk about Mikra Kodesh for Shabbos, that's when we add in the word Ahava, even though the Pasuk here doesn't say that Shabbos is Lachem. Now, this is particularly interesting because the Torah elsewhere does say that Shabbos is Lachem. Parshas Kisisa, the Torah says that Achas Shabbos Saiti Shmoru, and etc. And says, Ki Osi Veni Venechem, Ushmartem Asher Shabbos, Ki Kodesh Hi Lachem, right? Because it's Kodesh for you. And then when Moshe repeats this to the Bnei Yisrael, beginning of Parshas Vayakel, it again says Lachem. But when it's talking about Mikra Kodesh in Parshas Emor, it doesn't do that. It leaves out the Lachem in Shabbos. So what's the key point here? When do we say Be'ahava with regard to Yontif? We say it in the Kiddush when we talk about that Titan Lano Hashem Elokeinu Be'ahava. What aspect of the Yontif are we talking about? Moadim l'simcha, chagim uzmanim l'sasam. Right? What's the sense in which Hashem gave us the Yom Tovim with ahava, with love? It's a time of simcha, it's a time of sasam. Right? Why is it a time of simcha and a time of sasam? Does that have anything to do with what's going on Yontif? No. Yontif is a time of simcha and a time of sasam because it's the time of the katsi or the time of the yasif. It's a recollection of what Ribbono Shel Olam did for us. He left Mitzrayim. He protected us in the Midbar. He gave us the Torah, right? So the Yom Tovim are a time of Simcha, and that Simcha, those events which we're celebrating on Yontif, were themselves an expression of Ahava, of Hashem had the Ahava for us. But when it comes to the Kedusha of Yom Tov and Shabbos, the notion that this Kedusha was given to us, so yes, it's true, on Yom Tov, it was also given to us. And is that a sign of Ahava? Yes. But not nearly to the same degree in the same way that it is with regard to Shabbos. Why? Because what are we celebrating on Shabbos? What are we commemorating on Shabbos? Right? Shabbos has absolutely nothing to do with Jews. Right? Shabbos is because Ribbono Shel Olam rested on the seventh day when he created everybody. There's nothing about Shabbos that's unique to us. And it's precisely for that reason that the fact that Shabbos is Lachem is extra meaningful. It wouldn't make any sense for somebody else to celebrate Pesach. They didn't leave Mitzrayim. Shabbos would make perfect sense for everybody in the world to have a mitzvah of keeping Shabbos. Why is it that only Am Yisrael has a mitzvah of keeping Shabbos? As was emphasized in Parshas Kisisa, that was the whole context. Os hi beini uveinechem. Right? That's why Shabbos is an os. To celebrate Pesach is not an os between the Ribbono Shel Olam. It only happened to us. But to take something which is really universal and applicable to everybody and dafka, give it as a matana, as a gift to Am Yisrael, that's it's Hashem's Shabbos. It's not ours. And yet he gave it to us anyway. So it's in that sense that the Kedusha of Shabbos is Ba'ava Mikra Kodesh in a greater sense than the Kedusha of Yom Tov is. That the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Shabbos, gave us the Kedusha of Shabbos, is itself the ultimate sign of Ahava. And it's an illustration of, as we started with, Ahava She'ina Teluya B'davar. Right? It's an Ahava that might have originally been motivated by something, but it's not an Ahava which is ultimately dependent. In either sense, in the sense of the Medrash, or in the sense of the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos. As we've, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ahava for us was Teluya B'davar, then if it was even Teluya in our keeping our side of the bargain, right? Then we would have been in big trouble a long time ago. When we kept the mitzvahs, right? When we did our job, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ahava could have dissipated, just like the love of Amnon and Tamar. And if we had not done what we were supposed to and not done our job, then the Ahava could have dissipated, just like the Ahava of Balak for Bilam. But the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam stays with us for all eternity, the Olam Vaed, is a simon of the fact that his Ahava for us is an Ahava She'ina Tluya B'davar, and something which of course calls upon us to reciprocate to the best of our ability, that our Ahavas Hashem should as well be an Ahava She'ina Tluya B'davar, so that it remains Kayim. With that in mind, I want to just mention two final comments, two final thoughts. One is one of the things that I have been able to experience and to witness during the course of this decade that I've been sitting in this Beis Medrash is the mutual ahava that exists between Harav Simon and his Talmidim. And the degree to which that ahava is mamish a carbon copy of the Ahava of David and Yonasan is really remarkable. And it's something that I've been able to see year after year. And by year after year, I don't mean that there's an Ahava Shein Tfuyi B'davar with the Talmidim of 1 year, and then with the Talmidim of the next year, and then with the Talmidim of the next year. The whole point is that since it's an Ahava Shein Tfuyi B'davar, it's Kayim La'olam Vaed. And the Ahava that Rabbi Simon shows his Talmidim and that the Talmidim reciprocates and show to him is something which lasts li'olam vaed. It's the Talmidim from 10, 11 years ago who still have that that relationship, which is something that's l'shem l'siferes, and I hope that you all appreciate. And finally, you know, this description of Shabbos as a marker of the Ahava She'ein Tfuyi B'davar doesn't just apply to Shabbos. It's true about the Torah itself. The Torah itself is a gift that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave to us. Hopefully our Avas HaTorah is also something that can be Einat Luyi B'davar and Kayim Li Olam Vaed. But that has a certain much narrower application that I think is very important for me to express right at this juncture as I conclude. You know how we all have certain ideals, and we hope to think of ourselves as living up to those ideals. We like to say, think of ourselves as ma'aminim. We like to think of ourselves as yirei Hashem. We like to think of ourselves as ohavei Hashem, as ohavei Yisrael, and so on and so forth down the line. And we usually have some sort of gnawing doubt as to whether deep down we really have these characteristics, and we really fulfill them. And it's nice if every once in a while something happens where you're able to kind of almost prove to yourself that that you're living up to your own expectations of yourself. And there's something that I've been very pleased and very happy personally during these last couple of months. I know that, and I'm going to express my hakaras hatov to Rabbi Simon, and I know that some of you were active as well in responding to the dismantling of the Sholem Aishiv program, and the fact that that I unfortunately won't be here with you next year, and that people were fighting and had great were upset and trying to reverse this this decision, and I'm not telling you to stop, but Mr. Shem, you should be successful. But one thing that I said I was very happy to find about myself, and it's something that I want to share with you during these last few weeks, is that when we talk about the Ava Sheina Tluya B'davar, it's something that we have for people, it's something we have for Shabbos, something we should have for Hashem, something we have for the Torah. It's also the and it's related to the Hakaras HaTov Rabbi Simon was talking about. But I for almost my entire life, but certainly for the many, many, many years that I've been here in Yeshiva since in 1986, every single year I've been here except for my 3 years in Gush, I've always felt a very deep and powerful ahava for Yeshiva Sabbeinu Yisrael Chanan, for our yeshiva. And I have been able to prove to myself without any doubt whatsoever that I, during these last couple of months, that ahava is an emes dika ahava she'ina tluya b'davar. Whatever has happened during these last couple of months has changed literally nothing about my instinctive and very, very deep feelings about our yeshiva. Not only for what it's done for me, but for what it represents to the world, for what it's done for Yiddishkeit, and for what it will, and Yirtzeh Hashem, continue to do for the Talmidim that will follow you, and for the Jewish community in America and the world. It's an indispensable and incredible institution. And it's a yeshiva that means a tremendous amount to me, and which the respect that I have for it and the love that I have for it has not diminished one iota as a result of difficult times for the yeshiva and perhaps difficult times for me. And I hope that the fact that I am able to share that feeling with you will be able to help and inspire everybody here to some degree acquire that feeling as well, and to whatever happens, there are always problems, there are always troubles, there are always hurdles, and they have to be met, and they're met in different ways. But that what this yeshiva has done for every one of you and was done for Klal Yisrael is something that cannot be changed, and that the ahava that I hope that you have for our yeshiva is something that in Yirtzeh Hashem should be kayam le'olam vada, something that should last forever. I thank you again for this beautiful gathering. It means a lot to me. I appreciate it very, very much, and I hope everyone has a very good summer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bench.
Okay. Okay, Rabbi Berger needs to leave, so he's going to bench, and then we'll sneak into two, and then we'll.
Okay.
So we can bench also.
Sure,
with
Slavomer.
Yeah, so you can.